Hello, welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Mark.
Yes, we have a full house today, three of us, three King of the Hill super fans, and we're going to talk a little bit about one of the best episodes. But first, we're going to talk about a little bit what our past week was like. So anybody have any highlights for the past week? I know we just came off of Thanksgiving, so maybe a Thanksgiving tale or something.
Thanksgiving tale. I did Black Friday shopping. I don't know if that's interesting.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I always am like, I always go to Best Buy because they have those really cheap Blu-rays. And I'm like, I'm going to watch these Blu-rays. And guess what? I opened my drawer to put the new Blu-rays in the drawer. And the old Blu-rays from last year are there, still in their plastic wrap. And I'm like, I hate physical medium. Like, I'd rather have everything digital, but I can't help myself. Best Buy has got me.
How much are these mythical Blu-ray discs?
They're like $5.99.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not that bad, but like, I mean, I own Band of Brothers on DVD, Blu-ray, and now 4K. Like, I keep buying the same. Because I'm like, well, what if I get another player? It's so cheap. I can watch. I should just have the, in case the world falls, I need to be able to watch Band of Brothers.
Mm-hmm. You can just have it playing in multiple rooms.
Yeah, that's the goal.
This is starting to sound like my Steam library. Keep buying the same game over and over again.
I did the exact same thing with Persona 5. So I bought the game Persona 5 for PS4. Then they did one of the remakes or remasters or whatnot, the Persona 5 Royal. So then I bought that. And then a few months ago, they did another like remaster and made it on the PS5. And it's like Persona 5 Royal PS5. So I bought that. So I bought the same game essentially three times because I wanted all the fun upgrades and graphic improvements and stuff.
Need two more to make it poetic and have five Persona 5s.
Yes. I don't know. Have you ever done Black Friday before, Mark? Or I've honestly never done it once in my life. When I used to live in San Antonio, or when I used to live in Austin, rather, and I would drive to San Antonio for Thanksgiving, and then in the evening I'd drive back. Between San Antonio and Austin, there's this little town called San Marcos. And there's only there's only two things San Marcos is known for. I guess three. There's like a river that people, you know, do the lazy river down. There's also Texas State University. And then there's two major outlet stores there. And so a lot of people go there for cheap shopping. And as I drive by on the access road, on the highway, there's just like backed up of people waiting for those midnight things to open up, the midnight sales to start. I'm like, glad it's not me.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did like the early morning Black Friday thing, but I did do like probably like 10 or 11 a.m. on Black Friday, and it was miserable. And I was like, never, never again will I be doing this.
Oh, mm-hmm. I worked retail on a Black Friday. I used to work for Best Buy. Maybe that's why I'm so into Best Buy DVDs. But I worked for Best Buy, and I had to do a Black Friday. So I had to be there at like 4 in the morning. And I ran register. It was horrible.
That sounds awful. I can't imagine.
It was the police were outside. Police were outside, and we only let 5 people in every 10 minutes so that there wasn't a crowd. But
wow.
I feel like that was the mark of like, I was like, I need to get out of like. Retail is not my destiny.
Mm-hmm. You know how other countries have conscription where it's like, you know, you have to serve at least 2 years in the military or something like that. I bet America would be like a much nicer country. Like we'd be nicer to each other if everybody in America was required to work a year or two in retail.
Oh yeah. Like that done deal. Seriously. Like some kind of retail or a customer service. Somewhere where you have to deal with people's problems up front in person. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I guarantee you we'd be a way nicer country if everybody was required to do a year or two of retail or customer service.
Oh, man. I've done it. I've served my time, so I guess I'm okay with it. man.
What about you, Mark? Anything funny from the or fun from Thanksgiving week, Thanksgiving break, whatever you want to call it?
Not really. Didn't do much. Just ate a lot. And just, yeah, hung out. Pretty chill. I hate traveling during Thanksgiving, so I didn't even bother going home to visit family or anything like that. So it's too much of a headache.
Mm-hmm. I went the week before Thanksgiving to Texas, so I smart life hack right there. but yeah, no, traveling is terrible. I did learn a while ago, though, if you go Thanksgiving Day to the airport, now granted, this is like 10 years ago, you go to Thanksgiving Day at the airport, pretty much dead. Because everybody flew in like the day before or whatever.
That's fair. No one wants to actually be traveling the day of Thanksgiving. That makes sense.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago I flew over to spend time with my friend in Denver on Thanksgiving Day, and I had a flight on Thanksgiving Day. One, it was dirt cheap on Thanksgiving Day because I guess nobody actually flies on Thanksgiving Day, and the airport was pretty dead. Now, the parking lot was full. I had to park in, like, the K lot or something, like just one of the letters down of the alphabet or whatever, but still, the airport was pretty empty.
Is that the same person I know in Denver?
No, a different person.
Dang.
Yeah, I did my travel last week, but Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving Day calories, they don't count. It's just kind of the law. It's right in the Constitution. So eat everything you can that day. But yeah, I didn't do much other than watch a lot of movies, because why not streaming? I watched Bodies, 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 finally. It was really good. For those who don't know about it, it is an A24 film. We've talked about A24 before on the podcast, and it's like a sort of horror movie, sort of whodunit type of thing. But it has a twist ending that you probably didn't see coming. So it's worth a watch.
I definitely think it's this could be Pete Davidson's Oscar movie, I think, personally.
Wasn't Pete Davidson pretty much just playing Pete Davidson, though? Like, just a sadder version of Pete Davidson.
And that's a skill in itself that he's honed over years.
I was going to say, does he know how to do anything else? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the whole time I was watching the movie. I was just like, I don't even know if Pete Davidson knows he's in the film, and maybe they just filmed him, like, hanging out in the house. Like, he's just acting like himself. I don't know. It was a really good one. I would recommend watching it again. I'd watch it again. I'd recommend anybody watch it who's out there. If you're into horror movies, because there's, you know, I've never really been bothered by them. I don't know if any of you have been, but I don't know. I know people who are just like, oh, I can't watch them. They're too scary.
I love horror. It's like, first, back to Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. If you're going to watch it, I say going cold. Like, maybe not even watch the trailer. Like, the less you know about the movie, the better, I feel like, for that movie. Second, after Thanksgiving, meal with the family, we were all watching a movie. People were passed out on the couch. And I was like, I'm going to put on a movie that I like, since I'm the only person really awake. So I decided Scream 4 is the movie that will be on the TV for after Thanksgiving. And my mom fell asleep on the couch, and then she woke up to someone being stabbed. And she was like, what's going on? Were they not friends? Who is this person? And I was like, you got to finish the movie if you want to know who the killer is. And she was like, I don't care anymore. But I guess I do love, like, horror movies. I like the adrenaline rush of being scared. Something I enjoy. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Mark? Would you have one? Do you like horror movies? And two, have you watched anything great lately?
I'm not a huge horror fan, to be honest. Like, I feel like a lot of them are just like the jump out at you ones that are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not interested in being jumped out at me, scared. You know, everyone gets startled. Okay. That's it. It's over. The gruesome ones I used to like back in the day, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the House of Thousand Corpses or whatever it was, the Rob Zombie one. I used to like that stuff back in the day, but I don't know. I just don't get into it now anymore.
Yeah, I haven't seen one yet. Personally, I haven't seen one yet that legitimately scared me. I used to be very scared of, like, of everything when I was a kid, so you couldn't put Child's Play or whatever in front of me. But as an adult, like you mentioned, they all go by the same beat. Like, oh, the music cut out, so you know there's going to be a jump scare or things like that.
Yep. I will say, though, I did enjoy some of the horror video games. Those I could definitely get into. Like, I feel like it, you turn the lights off, you put the headphones on, and you can just really immerse yourself in it. And that gives me that adrenaline that I think that, Jimmy, you're referring to. Mm. I can feel that. That's creepy. You can feel it down your spine. Your heart starts beating. You just don't know what's coming around the corner. I enjoy horror video games like that. That's fun.
Which one's your favorite? More franchise-wise, either individual game or franchise.
I'm trying to remember the name of the one. It was really old, probably the early 2000s first-person shooter. Can't remember.
Oh, was it like Resident Evil? Did you ever play Resident Evil?
I did like the Resident Evil ones, but it's not the one I was thinking of.
Oh, is it like House of Dead? House of the Dead?
No.
Dang. I'm out of guesses. Yeah. I'm a two-guess guy, and they're both off.
Yeah.
I was going to say Silent Hill, but I know all those games have been third-person view. So.
Silent Hill was fun. I enjoyed that. Dead Space was fun, but that's not what I was thinking of. Dang it. They did two or three of them. I think they had a trilogy. Yeah. Keep talking. I'll look it up. I'll figure it out.
Oh, have you ever played Dead by Daylight? It's kind of a newer game.
Oh, no, I haven't.
It's a multiplayer game, so four of you play as survivors, and then another player plays as a killer. And you have to go around and fix generators. And if you, as a team, fix a certain amount, you guys are able to escape. But then there's the killer trying to hunt you all down. Mm. And I haven't played this game recently, but when it first came out, you weren't allowed to play, like, you couldn't play in the party with people you know. Like, it always randomized who you played with, and there was no voice. So it was like, I always felt it was really tension-filled, because everything was like, I forgot what it's called. It's like where there's a little timer, and then you have to hit a button at a certain time. It's like, what is it, like, skill something? I don't know what it's technically called. But you had to do that, and just not playing with people you don't know and not being able to communicate, very lot of tension for me. I just stopped playing that game. It gave me too much anxiety.
I found it. It's Fear. First Encounter Assault Recon. Fear.
That one was a really scary one.
Yeah. I really liked that one.
Did you, speaking about Silent Hill, did you see the announcements like a month ago? It's like all of a sudden Konami was like, oh, you guys are upset that you didn't get Silent Hill? Well, here's five of them.
They, like five new ones?
Yeah, well, they announced that they're going to make a movie. They're making two brand new Silent Hills, and then they're remaking Silent Hill 2. So I guess that's four Silent Hills, but they're like, so you're upset that we, because, you know, people have been complaining about the one that was canceled, Silent Hills or whatever, and like, when are we ever going to get Silent Hills?
Is that the one with Norman Reedus in it?
Yeah, it was supposed to have Norman Reedus in it. And they're like, oh, when are we going to get Silent Hill? When are we going to get Silent Hill and stuff? And so they're like, you want Silent Hill? Okay, here's four of them.
And then people were like, I didn't really want it.
Exactly.
This is too much. Take it back.
Someone grabbed it and was like, oh, wait, this is Silent Hill? I was thinking of something else.
That would have been funny.
I thought it was something totally different, guys.
Oh, no, Silent Hill. I was Mario Party. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. It's the same game.
Where's Yoshi? That's what they're... I got my kid this game. Pikachu's not even in it.
That would be funny. But yeah, let's jump into the episode. How about we're going to talk about... So this episode is episode 37 for us, 9 Pretty Darn Angry Men. Which is season 3, episode 7, early episode, and also pretty appropriate because the majority of this episode takes place on the day after Thanksgiving. Like, the beginning is Thanksgiving Day. So, you know, we are somewhat timely on it. We're not recording this the day after Thanksgiving, maybe a few days after, but it works.
Yeah, it's pretty good timing. Well done.
Did you plan this?
No, actually, I moved some stuff around on the schedule when I was looking at it. So we are doing a Christmas one next week, though, so that's something.
Okay. Nice.
All right. This is also one of my favorites. I mean, I know we say it a lot, like almost every episode is one of our favorites, but this one has some of the most quotable lines. And I distinctly remember watching this maybe during its first run, its original run when I was a kid. So it's always had like a nice one for me.
Yeah, same. This ranks up there as one of my favorites of all time.
I feel like I always get this confused with something else, but when I watch it...
It also, I think, exemplifies Hank Hill's character, but yeah, it's a good one. So we start the episode in the alley, and, you know, it's always like the other times where the guys are just sitting around drinking beer. This time, Hank's actually on his lawnmower, and he's talking about his Mason 1500 and how... You know, he's going to be joining this focus group to tell the Mason company what they need. And Dale's like, oh, you're going to kill at that focus group. And he's like, oh, no, it's not about, you know, killing or winning or anything. It's about telling the Mason Corporation what you think in a comfortable mall setting. And Bill's all angry, or he's kind of passive aggressive because he's like, well, I think it's an honor to be invited. And then Hank's like, take your average pickup truck. You got the... With the airbags and vanity mirrors, it's one focus group away from being a powder room.
And don't they do that later at some point when Peggy wants the truck and it's got like all those vanity things?
Yeah, or I think that's also the one.
Is that before or after this episode?
I don't know if it's before or after. I think it's the one where his old truck dies and like they go to the truck dealership thinking it was a mechanic. And like he's like, oh, it's got a truck has a phone and heated seats and stuff. And he's like, what did Hank say? Something like, well, let me put on a dress and drive it then.
Or I was thinking of the one when Peggy was in the pageant.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then Hank bought that one too. The truck, or he painted the truck white instead, or something.
And then it was never white again. Just that, like,
yeah,
minute in that one episode. Yeah. Well, it's funny because, I mean, Texans are very opinionated about trucks, but I think maybe it's just a rural thing in general, maybe not specifically Texas. But like, I had a friend who people made fun of him. This was, like, back when I was in college because he had a truck that had, like, a step on it. And they're like, oh, that's a girly truck or whatever. That's not a real man's truck. And so he's just like all embarrassed about the purchase.
I appreciate a step on it. As a short person, like trucks are high. I don't feel like people realize like they're not on the ground, people.
Yeah, they're not easy to get into. That's for sure. I appreciate the step too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Hank would be upset at the step, just like a real man to be able to pull themselves up or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Pull themselves up.
Bill's upset because he wasn't invited to the focus group. But, you know, Hank's like, oh, well, you know, I just don't want to get tired of you because, you know, you're going to be spending Thanksgiving with us. And he's like, oh, I can never get tired of you, even when we're sharing a cloud in heaven. And Hank's like, oh, fine, just nod whenever I make a point.
Is that so he doesn't have to share a cloud with Bill? Like, he's like, I better invite him to this focus group. We're going to be in heaven together.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just doing that calculus in his head, like, oh, maybe if I let Bill join the focus group, he won't want to share a cloud with me.
Yeah.
Hank's mom steps out and is like, Hank, you wanted me to tell you when Celine Dion was off the field, she's off. And Hank's like, oh, thanks, Mom. Aren't moms great? You know, she doesn't complain when she has to eat the dark meat. And, you know, it's just good. I'm glad that this is our mom's time. So essentially they go through like a cycle where one year cotton comes, another year Tilly comes, and vice versa. Unfortunately, somebody did not get the memo and cotton pulls up. And Hank comes out. It's like, this was, you were here last Thanksgiving. This is mom's turn. And he's like, Oh, I don't want to be a burden. Your mom can eat in the yard.
I okay. love Hank's mom. I feel like we just get the right amount, like the appropriate amount of her. Like, she's not too much in the show. She pops here and there, and she kind of has her own personality as it goes on. So I really enjoy Hank's mom. How her and Con ever got together.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Yeah, they are very different people. But it was a different time. I don't know. Maybe, you know, small town Texas, one of those things where you need to hurry up and find somebody before you're 25 and something. And maybe at one point Cotton was a decent person. Who knows?
I find that real hard to believe. We see some flashbacks of Cotton. Like, what was it when he... Right after he got his shins blown off and he saw the nurse's rear like amplified through the thing, whatever. Like,
yep. We're seeing the Hill family setting up for Thanksgiving, and you know, they're putting in the extra leaf and the table and stuff, and Hank's like, oh, and in addition to all the other things we don't talk about, please don't talk about the focus group. And Peggy is concerned that Cotton is going to ruin Thanksgiving like Squanto and his band of Indians ruined the first one, which is like the most... I mean, I guess it was played for laughs back then, but now like as an adult, I realize, oh man, that's like super offensive.
Yep, that's just the sort of thing that Peggy will throw out there every now and then.
What was it reminds me of the one Simpsons episode where they do the Thanksgiving. It's an older one, and they're like they're having Thanksgiving with the Indians, and then the Ned Flanders, who's the Pilgrim, is like, "Oh, I'm sorry about all the things we're gonna do to you in the future." And he's like, "Oh, well, what do you mean about that? Give you the biggest slice of pie." And then it's like, "Oh, cool." And then like under his breath, he says, "And take over all your land."
I remember one from The Simpsons too when they did those Sacagawea dollars. Mm-hmm. And so Marge was like showing the kids, look, it's a Sacagawea dollar. And they're like, oh, what can you do with this? She's like, you can take it to the bank and exchange it for a real dollar.
Imagine if somebody like paid their groceries in Sacagawea coins. You like they wouldn't be wrong, but you would be really pissed off at them.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there an episode? I feel like we did it where Dale goes to the bank and he's like, and I want this in Sacagawea coins.
Oh yeah, yeah. When he makes the bet with Bill.
Yeah, he's cashing that check and he's like, I'll take 100 in Sacagawea coins. Like he specifically like says it.
Yeah.
No Susan B. Anthony's in there.
Peggy moves things along because she just doesn't want to keep talking about it. And also, she's like on a mission. She's like, hey, we're going to get up at 4 a.m. tomorrow because we're going to do a 2-hour drive to the mall. And, you know, I want to get there before before all the Dallas Cowboy stuff is sold out. And all we have to do is buy Maverick stuff. And Hank's like, man, I've never even gotten up that early in my life, not even for fishing. And I know Mark might be a little upset that they didn't mention Dallas Stars at all. I don't know, was Dallas Stars a thing back when this episode happened? Maybe not, but
I don't think they were. I think that was still the team was still in Minnesota at the time, the Minnesota North Stars.
Yes, Mark is a huge hockey fan. I've had the fortune of being able to watch him play a few times. I actually, believe it or not, used to like hockey when I was like in eighth grade and then just lost interest.
That's too bad.
We didn't have ice hockey in Texas, so I joined a street hockey league at the YMCA. It's fun.
Oh, wait, you didn't have... Is that no ice hockey in San Antonio?
We only had one ice skating rink, and I think it was off-season, so there wasn't hockey at that point in time. It was like I want to say it was May or something like that. And so the Y was holding like street hockey league, so I did that instead.
We had the Austin Bats. I don't know if you're... That was the Austin hockey I don't know. Is there minor league hockey?
There is. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. And they were minor league. Yeah, we used to have the iguanas in San Antonio when I was a kid, and then we had the dragons when I was older. And I have no idea what San Antonio has now, if they even have a hockey team anymore, but it was a minor league.
Yeah, they probably have like an AHL team or maybe a juniors league. Like, even in Portland, we only have junior hockey. We don't have anything higher than juniors.
Well, today I learned.
I think you have the Rampage, the San Antonio Rampage.
Yeah, there we go.
It's a great name.
There you go. I like on one of Peggy's next lines is, you know, how in her opinion, the day after Thanksgiving is the biggest shopping day of the year. It's just like, that's something Peggy would say, like, opinion. Oh, you mean? Yep, it's always in her opinion. No, it's not that it's just a widely known fact at this point. It's just that it's your opinion. And she's like, we're going to go to bed at 7:30. And Hank's like, I can't go to bed that early. And Peggy's like, you're not even trying. Have a beer. And he's like, oh, I guess it's worth a shot.
I love that line. You're not even trying. Have a beer.
At the actual Thanksgiving dinner, Hank is doing the prayer, and he's like, we're thankful that Cotton forgot about our carefully planned out rotation plans this year and was able to join us for Thanksgiving. The
passive-aggressiveness.
Oh, yeah. That is absolutely what Hank would do. Like, he's trying to be thankful and positive, but you can tell he's really pissed off.
Yep.
He's not, he was like, God, hear though. This.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cotton is eating the stuffing. He's like, the stuffing tastes like crap. Did Tilly make it? Did I tell you about the time she tried to poison me with a baked chicken? And she's like, that was chicken almondine. And he's like, it was poison.
It was cyanide, woman.
Yeah. Hank's like, can you please not badmouth Mom while Bobby's in the room? And Cotton's like, all right, Bobby, you heard your dad. Leave the room. And then I like how Bobby actually gets up and gets ready to leave, and Hank's like, no, no, Bobby, just stay.
Bobby's great. He's okay, I'll leave. I love how Bobby just takes anything, and he's just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, I'll go. That's no problem.
I like how Bobby's just like, can you at least respect grandma until we get the dessert? And then it's like, Edie's your grandma too. She's your pretty grandma. And as bad as Tilly was in the kitchen, she was worse in the bedroom. And everyone's like shocked. And they look at Hank because they're just like, aren't you going to say anything? But he's just kind of resigned. And he's like, ugh. You know, you can see in his eyes, it's just like the dead look, like, what am I going to do with him? I like how Bill breaks the tension where he's like, cheers to the stuffing. It might taste like garbage, but it really fills you up.
He's trying to help.
I don't know why anyone expects Hank to do anything about, like, I feel like Cotton's just a runaway, like, train. Like, you gotta just let it go through its motion. You can't really, like, stop him.
Yeah, I've known people like Cotton before, and there's just nothing you can do to change who they are or what they're going to say or do. So it's like you just got to let it burn itself out.
Yep, it's like a 5-year-old with an AK or whatnot. You don't want to get too close because you might cause them to fire it more or whatever. So you just kind of got to keep a distance and hope it goes away or whatever.
Oh, that must be a Texan one. I've never heard that before.
I might have just made it up or seen it on Reddit, but yeah, it's I always hear the ones of like Todd. Like, I've heard that say when people talk about, oh, it's like giving a gun to a toddler or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is a Texas thing. I don't know.
I guess I have heard a generic gun to the toddler, but I don't know. The AK threw me off, I think.
Ah, gotcha. In the bedroom, Peggy is furiously clipping coupons. She has like one of those little headlamps on, and Hank's trying to sleep. And it's like, come on, just turn off your little headlamp and let's get some sleep. And she's like, this is 6 miles over Texas. I want to make sure I get all the good deals. Tilly comes in and it's like, oh, thank you, Peggy, for the great dinner. Good night, Hank, in a very terse way. And Hank's like, huh, Mom seems fine tonight. And Peggy kind of points out, like, you defended Troy Aikman more than you defended your own mom. It's like, mom knows how dad's like, and all Troy could do is get it there. He can't, you know, it was
Oh man, I was a Cowboys fan around this time, and if I remember right, this was came out when the Cowboys started to suck really bad. Like they were starting to go downhill, and like that one spoke to me. Like I could remember sitting like on the floor watching Cowboys games and just watching every pass by Troy Aikman hit the hands of the receivers, and so disappointing time.
Yep, yeah, in Texas, like not being a Cowboys fan is kind of a crime. Though with all the, like, in Austin, I think it's a little different because you have all the transplants. I remember one of my best friends was, you know, dating a girl from Pennsylvania. So they, every Sunday during football season, there would always be like two bars that were Steelers bars. But then there were also like, you knew which bars were which football team. But yeah, growing up, it was like, and I know there's the Houston Texans, but they don't count. Nope. The only people who like the Texans are Houstonites. Everybody are Houstonians. Everybody else in the state of Texas is a Cowboy fan. it's true.
Yeah, well, especially in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was Cowboy merch everywhere when I was a kid growing up in the night. Like, yep. They're like, you need this cowboy jacket and this cowboy hat. And I was like, okay.
Same. This and I grew up in Ohio, so.
Yeah.
No Cleveland Browns stuff for you?
Oh, no. Browns were terrible. Actually, they might not have even been a team at that point. And at some point, they disappeared, I think. So it was either the Bengals or Chicago, I guess. The Bears.
There you go.
The Colts. Indianapolis Colts. That's the one.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That would have been close, too. Yeah, I think... Texas being so big, the closest cities for football would have been either Houston or Dallas. Like you have to go like five states over or whatnot to get another major team. But yeah, in the morning we see Peggy, and it implies that she's up all night because she's still wearing the same like Christmas sweater she was in bed with, and she still had the headlamp on and everything. And you know, she's trying to get everybody to hurry up into the car. We see Hank's in a suit, which we don't see all that often. So you can tell he's taking this whole focus group thing way too seriously. And then Khan comes out. He's like, I hope we weren't too loud. And Peggy's like, okay, kids, you're on your own today. And I got to do all of my shopping. And Luann's like, oh, I'm going to take Bobby with us to meet guys. And Bobby's like, I'm the bait. And Hank like kind of looks at him a little concerned, and Luann's like, guys love single moms. They're all getting into Peggy's car, but then Cotton's like, oh, I forgot how much old ladies stink. And then Tilly and Peggy get out of the car, get in Hank's truck and take separate vehicles. And Hank's trying to talk in the car, and you know, Cotton is like, good God, son, you've got a fat neck. And then he's like, okay, well, when we get to the mall, you can do this. Are you going to talk the whole time?
that's a great line from Cotton. I love that. Kills me every time. You got a fat neck.
Mm-hmm. I love when they actually get to the mall, Cotton is like, I'm going to go to the corn dog shack and see girls make lemonade, which... I get the meme. We never had those in the malls in San Antonio, but I get the meme. It's one of my favorite offhand remarks from Cotton.
What are those places called? Like, they have those hats, right? Like,
yeah, it's like a corn dog, I think.
Place, right?
Yeah.
It's like red and yellow or something like that.
I think it's famous.
Corn. What was it?
It's like hot dog on a stick or something. I don't know. I think I always felt like it had, like, I don't know if it was just a joke where they would call it hot dog on a stick, or if their name was like literally that generic of a brand.
But they were known for their lemonade.com. I remember this. Oh wait, there is a place called hot dog on a stick.
Same one.
It is. It's called hot dog on a stick.
Yeah, they got the hats and everything. Wasn't that the same one from like Stranger Things that Steve and I forget the girl where they worked.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently that was a big thing at one time, but I guess we were too lame in San Antonio to never actually have those in our malls.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw it in real life, only in pop culture.
How horrible to have to make lemonade from lemons.
Well, that's how you know it's fresh. It's not just coming in a giant bag from corporate or something.
That's true.
I do like his. I'm going to go watch the girls make lemonade. That's like my second favorite Cottonism. The other one, like my favorite, I don't know that we have covered it yet or we will, but there's one where he's like, sorry, I'm late. I had to go to the Wax Museum and give FDR the finger. That's one of my favorite like random Cottonisms. Peggy gets ready to dart off and do shopping, and as soon as she starts walking, her sole comes off of her shoe. So she goes and finds a cobbler in the mall, and she's like, how long will it take to glue sole onto a woman's loafer? And he's like, oh, this will only take about 5 minutes. And he looks at it, it's like, woman's loafer? This is a man's loafer. And Peggy's like, it's unisex. Yeah, and then he's like, it's like, whatever. This is going to take a while. And then she just sits down.
I love that small little joke. Just like, if you don't really watch King of the Hill, you might not understand that she's got big feet and that's like a running joke at this point. It's just a small little thing that's not pointed out here, but just love that it's going to take him a while to fix her giant loafer. That cracked me up.
So does it just take a long time to fix men's shoes?
I think it's because it's just so big. Because it's bigger than he expected. So he's like, this is you have huge feet. He thought a small lady's loafer would be easy.
I do love, sometimes Peggy embraces it. Sometimes she does not. Like this time she was like, no, this is unisex.
This is a uniloafer.
Yeah, guy's just like, whatever. It's like, they'll take you a while.
I wish he would have screamed back to the like other people, like, we got a big one coming in, guys. Clear the table.
That would have been a fun visual gag if he like had to get a special glue and like he just opens up the box for the first time, like blows some dust off of it because he's never had to use it before.
Man, we got to order these parts from New York. It's got to take us a week.
In the next scene, we see all the men in the hallway. They're all in suits, the guys. And so they're all taking this way too seriously. I've never been part of a focus group, but I feel like I wouldn't go in a suit and tie. I'd dress nice, but I'd probably wear a nice sweater or a polo or something, but I don't think I'd go that crazy over a suit and tie.
Well, did you see Hank's carrying a folder? Like Hank has notes and he's like,
yes,
ready to go.
Oh, I love Hank. They get there. There's already people there and the moderator is talking. And he's like, their company is called Research Associates, which is kind of funny. He's like, they're my research associates and myself at Research Associates are paid by the Mason company, but we are paid to be independent. Bill and Dale come in, and Dale's like, we may or may not have seen Cotton in the bathroom, and we may or may not have told him that we were getting paid $50 to do a focus group. And Bill's like, mostly may. Hank's like, oh, no, and he gets up, and he tries to close the door before Cotton could get in, and he closes it right as Cotton is walking, and he's like, oh, that was close. What you want to do is turn around and head out the door, and well, once you're out the door, there is no wrong turn. But then Cotton's like, out of my way. I'm joining the focus group.
I don't know. So I have been in a few focus groups and they do not work like this. But like no one can just randomly show up.
Yeah, like, I think the demographics are very particular for these focus groups typically. You don't want just a bunch of randos in there. It's not going to be good data.
Yeah, I also was surprised that Hank was, like, surprised that Khan was there. It's like, there's only, like, 10 of us that live in this city.
That's one of my favorite Khan lines, too, is when he walks in and sees him. He's like, I am everywhere you want to be, Hank Hill. I love that line.
Well, also, this mall is 2 hours away from Arlen.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Khan overheard them talking about it and was like, I must do this to annoy Hank Hill.
Maybe. I could see that.
You know, Khan's wearing a suit too, so.
Oh yeah, he is. Yeah, Khan is, Khan lives just to mess with Hank. Like, I think that's his whole reason of life. The focus group starts and Khan says he's a system analyst and Hank's like, so that's what you do. Oh, what kind of systems? I don't know. I feel like maybe Hank's never seems to have had interest in anything of Khan's life before. So I feel like this is more him just trying to like deal with his anger or disappointment at his dad being there. So just trying to make conversation. Mm-hmm. Lane Prattley is there. Who's the, what is he owns? Prattley Hyundai. I can't remember the other one. Mitsubishi maybe. And then he's like, I got my eye on Cadillac. My dad's not doing so well. So I guess his dad owns a Prattley Cadillac and he's going to inherit it. Then there's one of my favorite one-time characters, Boyd Schubert. He's a minister, but he's lost his faith. But then he's like, but I found a good parking spot. So there's that.
The Lord works in so much mysterious ways. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I love this guy too. He's such a great like one-off character. Such a dark like story with him. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I like when Hank's there. He's like, I'm Hank. And you know he's going to say that I'm Hank Hill. I sell propane and propane accessories. But Cotton cuts him off and he's like, he runs a gas station. I'm Cotton Hill. I killed 50 men. I like how Dale is then like, is that a real computer? Yes. Okay, in that case, my name is Rusty Shackelford.
Is this the first time we meet him as Rusty Shackelford, or does this come up a lot? Like, I don't remember. I know it becomes a running gag later, but this is pretty early. I feel like it came up once, but
the way he says it's like, it's the first time. Right. Well, I guess maybe the first time we've heard it. But, like, in their lore, he's been using it
That's forever. True. He did say, like, at one point that he can get Hank an identity of someone who died in 1953 or something like that, like, hinting in that it was Rusty Shackelford.
Well, didn't Rusty, wasn't Rusty a kid that moved away and he thought, like, he died or something like that when they were kids?
He died as a kid, he didn't.
And that's why he took the name.
How did you feel about that? I always liked the fact that Rusty Shackelford was this just persona he made up. I kind of felt it took away from it when they reveal in a later episode that it was just like a kid he went to school with who I guess he stole his identity.
I think it adds some plausibility to it because if he was dead or if he was totally fake, then I think he would have gotten busted for this scam a long time ago. But the fact that it's a real guy who's still alive really kind of put some credence on it. And like he was using his real social security number and actually stealing this guy's identity really without knowing it.
I do like that there's like, you think there's no consequences for Dale using this name, but we find out that Rusty's been facing all these consequences. He's like, I get these letters and like all these things come to my like house. Please, Dale, stop using my name.
Oh, yeah. He needs Dale to sign that affidavit because he's like, I'm trying to get a small business loan, but the bank thinks I'm the same guy who ran out on a loan of on alpaca farms and stuff. So. They ask Boomhauer next, and Boomhauer talks in his normal Boomhauer way, so the guy can't even understand him and just like tabs and skips him on the computer. Then Bill's being Bill, and he's like, my name is William De La Torre d'Otrive, and my wife divorced me in 1991. I'm a sergeant barber. Just too much information that he's giving. So this makes up our focus group, and they decide to show off the new Mason, and Hank's happy. He's like, there it is, my Mason 1500, but then they remove the covering from it, and it's like, it's the Mason 2500, and now Hank's taken aback.
Okay, does Hank not understand what focus groups are? Like, did he think that they were gonna, like, bring the old lawnmower that they've been making it? Like,
true.
Like, I don't understand what Hank thought was going to happen.
Yeah, that's a great question. That, yeah. They wouldn't be shocked. Focusing group an old lawnmower.
Mm-hmm. One that's been on the market for a few years, presumably. Yeah, when they come back, the guys all love it. Like, everybody in the room loves it, except for Hank. And Hank's like, they pushed out all the mower for space-age polymer and cruise control and zero turn radius and a rear bag attachment and a Tommy Hilfiger sports package.
Okay, wait. Do you think of Tommy Hilfiger when you think of sports? Like, I only think of, like, polo when I think of Tommy Hilfiger. I'm like, that's the... What kind of sports package?
Yeah, my first thought was, like, a cologne package. Like, it would be something smelling good, you know, not sports.
The one thing that doesn't make sense to me is, like, the cruise control. I guess if you have, like, an acre of land or something, then maybe it's useful. But in his little yard or whatnot, like, when is he, or anybody for that matter, like an average mower, going to use cruise control on a lawnmower?
And, like, I'm actually thinking about this, trying to remember back from when I was a kid driving a riding lawnmower. Like, I think they're all technically cruise control because there was just, like, a positional throttle. And so you just, like, put it at the spot you want, and then you just hit the brake when you wanted to slow down or stop. And then you let off of it, and it goes right back to that same speed.
This one must have lots of torque.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't, like, lawnmowers only have maybe two speed settings or whatever anyway?
It was like a bar. It was like a physical metal bar that you could throttle and just push it farther, and it let more gas in. And, like, that was it.
Yeah. Khan says he loves the mower because he knows Hank Hill can never afford it on his meager salary. And then Cotton's like, he's a pump jockey. He works for tips. And Hank's like, Dad, I'm not a pump jockey. Dad, I'm not works for tips. Cotton likes the mower because it's curvy like a woman. I love that one where he's like, he's a pump jockey. He works for tips.
That's so good. Love that line.
Yeah, it's hinted in a few episodes that Cotton, I think, legitimately thinks Hank works at, like, a gas station, like not a propane sales, like a propane store or whatever, like a legitimate, like, pull your car in, fill up your tank, drive away gas station.
Yeah, he either has no idea what Hank does, or he just has zero respect for Hank and is just messing with him.
It's probably both, to be honest.
It'd be both.
So we kind of join and see what everybody else is up to. Luann is ice skating or getting ready to enter the ice skate rink, and she's not confident. She doesn't know how to ice skate. It's kind of hinted, and she's also sad because they're playing Buckley's song. So, you know, there's a lot to unpack there.
But Buckley's song is like... the Jock Jams. It's so song, perfect. Right?
Yeah. It's da-na-na. Hey.
Yep.
I love that. Yep. That's so funny. That's great writing by the team there on this episode. They couldn't have picked a better way of talking about Buckley in this episode. That was awesome.
Yeah, we see Pegley at the cobbler's, and she fell asleep while she was waiting for her shoe. I like how the cobbler just kind of, like, shrugs, puts the shoe on her foot, and then goes back to work. Like, he doesn't even attempt to wake her up or anything. You'd think he'd at least wake her up so he could get paid, because we didn't see him take any money from her when he took the shoe in back or whatever.
It's true. I didn't think about
maybe
that.
Maybe this is just like a job of passion. Like, he's like, I never gotten to work on a loafer this big before.
The, They've often talked about the giant whale of the cobbler world, and I finally found it.
Yeah, this is his white whale. They'll tell stories of this to their children.
I'm gonna be the most popular cobbler in the world.
She came in with a uni loafer.
It took 4 bottles of glue to glue that loaf that soul back on. We go back to the focus group, and Lane Pratley is there, and he says he likes it because of all the add-ons. He's like, if I had a Mason dealership, you better believe you'd be leaving with that optional rear bag attachment. And Bill's like, yeah, you sold me pinstripes for my Escort. It's like, no, you don't understand. I financed you pinstripes.
Is that the same car that Bill still drives to? Like, I feel like that's, I think so. That Escort is still going.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I used to drive a Ford Escort too. Those things were awesome.
They were. They don't exist anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, they're one of the good Fords. So Hank states that Boomhauer and Bill and Rusty and himself aren't sold on it, but then Cotton's like, oh, you know, that's just how you are. Anything I like, you don't like, just like your mother. And then anything I say I don't like, you have to like. And then Rusty's like, well, I'm pro-mower. Rusty, Dale, is like, I'm pro-mower. And he's like, I like the ashtray, which he's like, idiot, that's a gas cap. And Cotton's like, he's an idiot. He can use it as an ashtray as he wants. And then Dale's like, thank you, Colonel. Boomhauer likes the electric seat warmer because he might want to ride naked. Which I guess is something Boomhauer would do. We see him wear like many episodes where he's just out wearing like the skimpy underwear and stuff. I don't think we've ever.
Isn't he like in a leopard bathrobe a lot too?
Underwear. Yeah.
Yeah, but we never actually see him like as a nudist. But you know, maybe now that he has the option to ride his lawn naked, he can. I don't know. Maybe that's as far as he's thinking. And then Bill is like, I'd like to make a point, and Hank's like, I already made your point. And Bill just has like this push of confidence where he's like, no, you've been speaking for me for how long? Hank's like, years and years. Sounds about right. Well, enough is enough. I have opinions and they matter. And it's funny because Lane Pratley, like, obviously wasn't paying attention, is like, way to go, Phil, instead of Bill. And he's like, I gotta say something, and it's gonna rock your world. I like the cup holder. And Hank's like, hey, we can get you a cup holder, and I'll attach it to your 1500. And the guy from the focus group is like, oh no, we aren't making new products for, oh, what's a nice word for obsolete? And he's like, collectible. And then Bill's being praised for coming up with a good word. And Cotton is like, when something gets old and tired, you got to trade up. And Hank's like, oh, like you traded up my mother? It's like, nah, trade-in has value. I scrapped her.
Oh, that line.
Oh, man. So that's brutal. Cotton, though. Yeah.
Yeah, but Hank's just upset that everybody is just hypnotized by all the bells and whistles. And so they hold a vote, like, who likes the mower? And everybody but Bill and Hank raises their hand. And Bill's like, wait, are we voting on Hank's mom or the mower? And they're like, the mower. And then his hand jumps up. I mean,
Con accused him of confusing the mower with his mom. And so he's like, you're only trying to defend the old mower because it's your mom. And that's not what Hank's doing at all. Like, he truly loves his old mower.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do make that mention that, like, was it Con who was like, yeah, you're just, you know, as a little redneck boy, you couldn't defend your mother. So now you're making up by defending your mower.
Yep.
The moderators are ready to call it because it's just like, hey, everybody but this one dude. likes it, so we can just call it a day. And Hank's like, on the invitation, it said we're going to be speaking from 9 a.m. to noon. That's 3 hours. We have 1.5 hours left. And then Hank's like, I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. I'll put up my $50, less my expenses, and if I can't convince you all to change the to change your mind. Dale's all excited because he's like, that comes out to $7 a piece.
For an extra hour and a half of work.
Yep. Though you might have actually been able to buy something decent with $7 at the mall in the early 90s.
A hot dog on a stick.
Yeah, and perfect. The lemonade to go with
and
it.
And the lemonade.
Exactly.
I also don't think this is how focus groups work. Like, I don't understand what's happening. Like, like it's already made. The lawnmower is there.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they kind of hint into this a little bit that this is a little bit of a shady focus group to begin with because it's being paid for by Mason to begin with. And at that point, when he's trying to shut it down, he says, like, oh, I think I have enough positive and negative comments to write a very positive report. They're not interested in actual user feedback. They're just trying to get some like quotes for marketing or some praise for the new device.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we want to see what everybody else is up to real quick, Luann's ice skating, but she still can't skate and she falls. And then Bobby takes to it like a fish in water and he's ice skating, but he's kind of doing like ice dancing a little bit, and he's like, I can't wait till Dad sees this. And I actually feel robbed that we don't actually get to see Hank's reaction to this.
Yeah, we're robbed from that boy ain't right quote there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Hank would be too tired. At this point, Hank's like, I can't deal with anything else today.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Bobby, there's fruit pies in the truck. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. We do see that hot dog on a stick place and the women making lemonade, and Dee Dee and Tilly are there, and Dee Dee's like, oh, I'm sorry that Cotton speaks so badly about you. He just doesn't like you. And then Tilly's like, oh, I could deal with him. I just wish Hank would stand up for me. And Dee Dee's like, oh, Hank doesn't stand up for me either. His own stepmother. And Tilly just kind of gives her like a dead look, like, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. We go back to the focus group, and Hank's like, you all like the new mower, and you don't like the old mower, but a lot of things are old and good, like Old Glory, Old Faithful, Old Testament. And then I like the minister, he speaks up, it's like, thou shalt not kill. Just because a baptism turns into a drowning, everybody gets upset. And then Lane Pratley is like, oh, that's a terrible story, sir. Can I ask you, what do you drive? It's Mitsubishi Diamante. And Lane is like, oh, well, if you can hurry up, Hank, I'd like to take him to get a brand new pre-owned Sonata.
I love
which
that.
Which is also brand kind of name. Funny. Pre-owned. So good. Yeah. Also, like, this is the 90s. Hyundai has come a long way and is a decent car brand now. In the 90s, it was like a terrible car.
Yeah.
it was a joke to have it. I feel like the only people who drove it were, like, I don't know, people who... I also feel like it was the... I remember the Kias when they first came out. The Kias first came out around the first time I started driving. And I remember you used to be able to buy a brand new Kia Sophia. This is like in 2003, 2004, for $5,000. Brand new. And it came with a 100,000-mile warranty and everything like that. It's like...
Yeah, it didn't come with a radio or an air conditioner or power windows or anti-lock brakes. Yeah. It like had nothing. I remember those.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Do you remember, rolling windows down? Like, with mm-hmm. the thing?
Yeah.
My first car, it was an old car. It lost the little rubber thing to the window roll down. So you had to grab it, like, on its little hard plastic thing. So it like scratch your hand rolling down the window, man.
Oh,
I
wow.
need to get a new car. I still drive that car.
I remember those days. I also remember when, like, when before Bluetooth and USB hookups and all that stuff existed, you could buy like a fake tape and then put it in the tape deck, and then it had like a cable that came out of it. You could plug it to the headphone jack of your iPhone.
I did that with my Discman. You know, I had the CD player that was just hooked into the tape deck through my old radio. You hit a bump and the Discman just bounces on the passenger seat and skips like crazy.
I miss those Discman. My parents going car shopping when I was a kid, and like CDs were new, like the CD player in the car was brand new, and the guy was like, "This can hold 3 CDs," and I'm like, "What? Where do they go? Like, what's happened? Like, where, when I put one in, where does the other one go? Like, I'm like, I only own 2 CDs, but if I get that third one, it's like, we need this car."
Oh man, that reminds me of a good con line, actually, when he has the 5 CD changer in the trunk.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
He's like, "Hey, if you need help installing that in the dash, let me know." "Oh, it belongs in the trunk. It's a fancy trunk. You wish you could live in my trunk."
I love that part so much, too. I know we mentioned Discman really quick, but I want to say, remember how they had like zero stability? Like, at least with Walkmans, when you had a cassette, like, you could run with them or play with them and whatnot. Like, and they would still be, for the most part, pretty consistent. My Discman, my first one that I got, like, if you just, like, walk upstairs or whatever, you're skipping songs.
Yeah, you had to hold it like it was a baby. You were like, "No one rattle this."
Yeah, don't breathe on it.
Yeah, it's like you're starting on song one. By the time you walk up to the steps, it's like skipped all the way to the 8th track. So this is actually one of the interesting parts, because Hank starts to like tailor his messaging to everybody specifically. So Hank goes up to Lane Prattley and it's like, "You like this mower with all the bells and whistles, right?" It's like, "Yeah, so you'd be paying all the dealer markup then." And Bill's like, "Yeah, you'd be just like me." And he's like, "Oh, I hate them Mason bastards. I'm changing my vote." They go to Boomhauer next. And it's like, "Hey, Boomhauer, you mentioned that you like to, you'd like the seat warmer. And you also want to drink you also drink beer when you're mowing the lawn. Where do you keep your can of beer when you drink? Between your legs?" And Hank's like, "Between his legs. So not only is the seat heating up his can, but it's heating up his can of beer." And then Boomhauer's like, "Oh man, I don't like that. It'd be like Euro trash. I'm changing my vote."
But what about the cup holder? Like,
right. You can see the cup holder in that scene right behind him.
Like, yeah. He would use, I don't know. Well, more power to Hank.
Hey, take, it's a win for Hank. Let's take it. Yeah. They go up to Dale and they're like, "Oh, you can't bend me. I'm unbendable." And Hank's like, "You know, it'd be easier to take you more seriously if you didn't have chocolate chip crumbs on your eyebrows." And he's like, "You're bluffing. Well, take a look." So Dale checks in the mirror and he's like, "Oh, you're right." And then Hank turns off the lights, which reveals that it's like a one-way mirror. And so there's like marketing execs or whatnot behind the mirror who's observing them. And he freaks out. He's like, "Who are those?" He's like, "Oh, those are just people from Mason. They're there to observe, you know, get inside of your head." And then Dale just freaks out. And Hank's like, "All right, we've changed Dale now."
I love that Dale actually did have like cookie crumbs in his eyebrows. Like, that wasn't a bluff. It was real.
Awesome. Oh, this guy has lost control of this focus group. Like,
yeah. Yes. They cut over really quickly and they show that Peggy's still asleep at the cobbler. And then, you know, the guy, I guess he's trying to get control and call it down. He's like, "Oh, I think I got enough positive and negative comments to make a very positive report." And Hank's like, "Oh, I still have 20 minutes. And he starts talking. And I guess they do kind of like one of those time lapse montages where you start seeing like more empty beer cans and stuff open on the table, and then all of a sudden it gets to Hank, and he's like, "And then Taiwan won't be far behind." and then second. So it's kind of implying like he took all that time to make his first point.
And the fact that there's beer cans like everywhere, and right. this is like from 9 to noon or something. And there's like 4 beer cans per person on the table at this point.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's the day after Thanksgiving. You should get to drink beforehand.
Goes back to what Jimmy was saying. What is this focus group? What is going on here?
And did they bring their own beers? I feel like they brought their own beers. They're like, this is what we do in the morning. We should just bring her.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to look at the scene again and see if, like, Bill had a cooler in tow when they walked in. So, you know, Khan is being Khan, not paying attention. He's spinning around in his chair, singing Rock the Casbah, and he falls and everybody starts laughing. And then Hank just kind of has like a Dr. House epiphany moment. He's like, that's it. So, you know, this new lawnmower has a light space age polymer and zero turning radius and a rear bag attachment, right? All of those sound good on its own, but together it is a recipe for disaster. And now the guy is getting a little nervous. Like, I'm not sure I like where this is going. And then Hank asks Reverend Boyd, he's like, Reverend, I didn't drown that kid. He's like, Reverend, will you do the honors of testing the mower? And the Reverend gets on and drives, and he's like, okay, drive to the wall. Now engage the zero turn radius and do a 180-degree turn, and then the mower just kind of loses control and flips over, throws the guy off, and Hank's like, that's your zero-degree turning radius. That's your rear bag attachment, and the cup holder breaks, and Bill's like, oh, my cup holder. That's why you're always making decisions for me, Hank, because you're always right, and I never am. And Hank's like, well, you know, if I'm always speaking for you, and I'm always right, that means you're always right, too. And then Khan's like, oh, that could have been me. I hate this mower. And so everybody is now on Hank's side, except for obviously one person, Cotton. And Cotton talks to the preacher, and he's like, preacher, if you're still in the business of drowning babies, I'd like you to drown my son, Hank.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, gosh. One, he knows he's bringing up trauma for that preacher by saying that. And then two, just it's a terrible sentence in general.
And it's so Cotton.
Yes. We cut into the hallway, and Tilly and Dee Dee are looking for the bathroom, and they're like, oh, he said it was the third door on the right, so this must be it. And they wind up walking into the back room on the other side of the one-way mirror. She sees Cotton, and Cotton's talking, and he's upsetting Tilly because he's like, oh, there he goes again, and in public. And he's like, I'll get $50 for the first person to figure out how to strap an old woman onto an old lawnmower and drown them or push them off a cliff. And he's like, yeah, I, Mr. Khan, I like a big butt, but Tilly was taking advantage of the situation. Then that's when Hank finally has, and he's like, okay, that's enough. And he's like, don't you talk back to me. And he's like, my mom's not too old and my mower's not too old, but this is not about my mom or my mower. It's like, this is about a bitter old man who blames everyone else for his problems and won't take responsibility. And if you ever talk about my mom or my mower like that, you're not welcome in my house. And then, of course, Tilly hears all this and she's like, amen. And then Cotton is taking it back and he's, you got a fat neck, boy, and walks away. And then we get one final good line from the Reverend. He's like, I'm not sure if there's a God or a heaven, but your daddy's going to hell.
Yeah, I don't.
Is this the only time we see the Reverend? It's like this character never comes back.
Yeah.
New city, new baptisms for him.
So good. Such just one.
No, maybe if they reboot him, they'll bring him back. Because according to the wiki, apparently this is the only episode we ever see him in. Oh, and he's voiced by Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh.
Ah.
I do wish the lawnmower company goes with the quote, strap an old woman to an old mower. Like, that's the tagline.
Like, that's the one takeaway they get That's like the one takeaway they have from the focus group, and they put it in all their marketing material.
Yeah. They're like, it was worth the hundreds of dollars we spent.
We get to the close of the episode, and Hank comes out, and Tilly sees, is like, oh, how was the group? And Hank's like, oh, not so great. Oh, I didn't have enough time to buy you a gift. And she's like, oh, I don't need anything from you. I'm happy and stuff. And they go out, and they're like literally the last person to leave, which kind of makes me wonder, like, does this mall close at noon? I don't think so, because it's nighttime. So it implies, like, I guess what was Hank doing from noon to 7 or whatever that he didn't have time to get the gift?
I think they just fast forwarded, and yeah, they just went shopping together, I think.
Yeah. I guess, but yeah, they get ready to leave, and they're like the last car in the lot, and Hank's like, oh, I guess Peggy must have left with Cotton. Who would have thought? And they drive off, and it reveals that Peggy's still asleep in the shop, yeah. And the guy actually like closes down the shop, pulls down like the big door and whatnot, and doesn't even bother to wake Peggy, and the episode ends. Maybe he's keeping her, like, you know, that it's to show all of his friends the next day, like, this is the woman with the big loafer.
Oh, man. I do wish, well, if she would have woken up, I wish we would have seen her with a whole bunch of Maverick stuff. Like, leaving the mall with, like, Maverick shirts and a hat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is before cell phones were a thing, too, so... It would have, like, it would have taken them a while to realize that Peggy wasn't there.
Yeah, they'd have to drive all the way home, find out she's not there, go all the way back to the mall. 2-hour drive.
Also, did Cotton just take her car? Yeah. Or, like, how did she get, like, Cotton get home? Because he came with Hank.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
like, I think Cotton just... Like, him and Dee Dee, like, the car, how did they get, like...
I don't know. That is a good point. Like, did he just take Hank's keys while he wasn't paying attention and drive home? Or I don't know. They don't explain it.
Yeah. We don't even see Luann, actually. I just paused it on that scene, and you can't even see Luann in the truck. So did Luann go home with Cotton too? It's just Tilly and Bobby in the truck.
Yeah. So, yeah, where are Dee Dee and Luann? I guess they did go home with Cotton.
This is one of those.
I did find that weird about the beginning of the episode when they split up to take the car and the truck, but Hank didn't drive the truck himself. Like, that doesn't feel like Hank. I feel like he would have insisted to drive his own truck.
That's true. That does not seem like a Hank thing. Hank would definitely want to drive his truck. Like, I could see him letting Peggy drive the truck, so that doesn't really concern me. I don't see him letting Dee Dee, Luann, or Cotton drive the truck. No, though there are episodes where he does give Cotton the truck, so I don't know.
That's true. To get Hitler's canoe.
I don't know how many times he's had to rebuy that Hitler's canoe. It seems like he's always going to the shop to buy Hitler's canoe. Oh, and fun fact, when you brought up the Dallas Mavericks, I was curious. So apparently Dallas Stars started in 93, and this episode was filmed in 98. So good chance that there would have been Dallas Stars things in the mall.
Yeah, there you go.
Apparently, it looks like, didn't they have a winning season once?
Yeah, they've been pretty good lately. Last season, I think they, maybe not last season, 2 seasons ago, they went to the Cup final. And I don't think they won, though.
Yeah, I think it says here.
Yeah, 2020.
You know, it looks like they won maybe in the 98-99 season versus the Buffalo Sabres. Wow.
Their first year?
Or like, no, their that fifth
was,
year.
Never mind. That was when the King of the Hill episode came out, yeah.
I think that's the only professional hockey team in Texas, I think. I mean, there's a lot of minor hockey, but that's only professional.
Yeah.
Though Austin finally got like a major
only NHL team.
Yeah. Austin finally got its own professional team. For the longest time, Austin was like the only big city that didn't have a professional sports team in it, basketball or anything. I think I guess we had a pseudo sports team, like the Longhorns was kind of something everybody in Austin followed, but that's, you know, that's college sports, not professional sports. But what is it? We have Austin FC. We have an actual soccer team, and they built that whole big stadium up in North Austin. And
can you build a stadium there? And they were like, "We're doing it anyway."
Yeah, it competes in Major League Soccer, so it is an actual it's an actual thing.
There you go.
So yeah, Austin got a professional team eventually. There was a point in time go ahead.
I was going to say they keep talking about potentially bringing another NHL team to Houston. Like, that's one of the markets that they're looking at as a potential in the future.
Well, it's one of the biggest, the fourth largest city in America. So they're, of all the people there, they've got to be able to get some fans.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah, big market. So there's probably a lot of money there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, there is a lot there. Houston does have other sports teams, though. Houston has the Texans and the Rockets. I can't think of any other leagues that they have. Oh, the for baseball, who's there? The Rangers. I'm probably pissing people off.
The Astros.
Yes, there we go. The Rangers are Dallas. Yeah, I probably really just lost a bunch of Texan points there. By missing up my cities like that.
Yeah, Houston Astros.
That's right, because
my baseball knowledge kind of stops in the 90s, though. I know some teams have moved around, and I still don't have that figured out.
I have zero sports loyalty, and I'll just go and watch whatever. If it will never be my idea saying, hey, let's go watch the sports team or watch a game or whatever, but if people are like, oh, we're going over to a wing bar or whatever, or we're going over to a sports bar to watch a thing, I'll be like, yeah, I'll go or whatever. But because of that, I'm just like, I don't care what team wins or loses.
It's more of the social event.
Yep. For the longest time, Longhorns was the only thing that Austin had. And there was a point in time, when I was living in Austin, where the Longhorns were so bad that you could buy tickets for $10 or something like that. Do you remember that, Jimmy? I remember a few of we had some mutual friends who went over one time, and they were talking about it, and they were like, oh yeah, there's only $20 a person. Yeah, the tickets were so cheap.
I've been to a couple of Longhorn games where the tickets were really cheap. You start off really high up there, but then people always leave during the middle of the game, and you kind of just migrate down. But I'm also
a big fan
of not sitting in traffic. So I don't like to go to a lot of sporting events live.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're not participating, it's just terrible dealing with the traffic during a sporting, a Longhorn game or whatever, if you just happen to be on the road.
Oh, yeah. When I lived in Bay Area, I'd frequently look up to when the San Francisco Giants or the Oakland Raiders were playing, just so I could avoid those areas.
Yeah. Wow, that is something you always have to do. Even if you're not a sports fan, you just have to know so that you're okay, I'm not going to take this road today.
Yeah. And then, of course, since you Googled it, Google thinks you're a fan now and will never stop showing you scores and advertisements for them.
That's why you have to use incognito mode. I like how you can look up one thing and then you'll get ads for it forever.
Yeah, exactly. You get stamped that label for the rest of your life.
One of my favorite things, it just makes me laugh. When you get the stuff, when you buy something from, say, Amazon or online, but it's not a repeat purchase. It's not something you're going to buy more than one of. But then you keep getting ads for it. And it's like, how many toilet seats do you think I need?
On that note, how's your new toilets?
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. But no. Funny, because you'll buy a plunger or you'll buy a toaster or something that you just don't buy a lot of repeat items for, but then they'll keep sending you ads for it, here are three other toasters you might want to consider. It's like, no, thank you, the one I bought a while ago is still working fine.
Did you get the toilet seat with the squishy padding on it?
Yes. Those are
awful.
Or the was it in the 80s and the 70s and maybe the 90s too, where you had like fur on the toilet seat, like you put the little. Yeah, that was a weird time. Yep. That and popcorn ceilings. Those are things that I remember from my childhood that are still weird to think about. Like, why was that ever a thing? Ceilings. Yeah. Any other thoughts on the episode or anything else?
No, I mean, it's good. It's a good watch.
One of my favorites. I guess
we always say, like, it's worth the watch.
Yeah. Should you do like a episode we hate at some point? Like, should we do Pygmalion just to like tear it apart and have something different? Complain about an episode?
I think we should. We should do like a terrible episode when we get through all of these. We still have a few episodes left.
The episodes we hate.
Yeah, just like we do the five we hate. So, so listeners, stay tuned for that one. When we do, we will announce that. But next week, we are doing Pretty Dresses. So if you want a early Christmas one that's a bit depressing but funny at the same time, stay tuned. Until then, I am Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
And I am Mark.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.